Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
And joining us today is Nick. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, everybody. Nice to see you guys all again.
All right. Worst intro ever. Pretty bad guys.
It's like we've been, this is our first day.
Yep. First day on the job. If you can't tell.
It's funny. We were just talking about, Bobby was like, hey, do you guys want to have any kind of, plan going in? I was like, we're all seasoned talkers here, dude. We knocked this out of the fucking park, man. We don't need no plan. First thing we do, 10 seconds, it fucked it all up.
Hi, my name's Nick.
Oh, God.
I'm not good in social situations.
That sounds like a Napoleon Dynamite impression.
Yeah, which is the best if you watch it in Spanish. Have you seen this yet?
I have not
seen it in Spanish. No.
So instead of like gosh, like there's no gosh in Spanish, right? So no. It's rayos, which is lightning bolts. Rayos, qué voy a hacer? And then there's a word for Wolverines either. So they're like, that scene where he's like, hey, what you doing? What you do over the summer? He's like, oh, it's hunting Wolverines in Alaska. He's like, it's completely different. It was like, me and my uncle were taming wolves in the wilderness. Dude, it's so good. I've seen that movie. That's one of the rare movies I've seen over 20 times. Just because it was always on at the frat house like that I lived at. Not a real frat house, like just a bunch of guys living together. It was just always on in the background. Mm-hmm. And that's a movie that just gets better the more times you watch it as well.
Yeah, you know they're going to make a value. They made a cartoon out of that. It didn't work too well. Wasn't very popular. No. Only like half a season. And the guy who directed that, he went on to make some other movie that, well, it's not in Spanish, but it takes place in Mexico. Nacho Libre. You ever see that one? Jack Black.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, no, it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Oh, dude, I just rewatched it recently, and I was like, I see the comedy that they're going for, and I do appreciate that. It's such a tricky comedy to get right. Like Napoleon Dynamite just got it right, and they just got it. I don't know. They took it a little too far. I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, it didn't quite work for me.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat Napoleon Dynamite, man. That dude with the at the gym, Rex Kwando. Like, come on.
Rex, this is my wife, Bertha. She's like,
oh, no, it was Starla. It was Starla.
That's what it is.
Think anyone wants a roundhouse to the face while I'm wearing these bad boys?
pants.
Good times. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some games to talk about, and I've actually got a lot of stuff I'm excited to talk about. I don't know who wants to go first here. Should I just lead this off?
Hey, if you're excited, go for it, man.
All right. Because I am. I'll start with the game I'm actually not as excited about, though. Stirring Abyss. I mentioned this last week. I've been playing this game for like 2 weeks now, and I have very mixed feelings about this game. It's kind of like, it's going to be one of those classic Bobby reviews where it's like I talk for 15 minutes about all the problems and everything that's wrong with it, and at the end I'm like, good game, loved it. You know, it's going to be a little confusing. But it is a good game. It's very difficult, though. It's one of those tactical turn-based XCOM-type games where you go out on missions. Let me actually bring it up here. You go out on missions. You kill enemies. There are boss fights. Then you come back to your base and you build up your base. The cool thing is it's very Lovecraftian. It takes place underwater. And it's very similar to one of the old XCOM games that I never played. What was the 90s one that was underwater? I think it was UFO Defense. I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Is your base a submarine, Bobby?
Yeah. So you're on a
mobile?
Well, you're on a submarine. It crashes and you have to get back to it and you find other people and you start rebuilding it. So that's kind of like the spending your resource points. And, you know, when you build back a room, it gives you these new abilities or some sort of benefit. So it's just like, and it's that cross section of the submarine. So just like XCOM. The combat is kind of tricky, though. Like, it's pretty unforgiving, and that's where I really struggle with this game. if you're out there exploring and you're looking for the enemies, if you just happen to stumble across them and one guy's out by himself, it's going to take you a long time to get your guys over there to help him. So you can really mess up a whole mission just by one misstep. It's pretty unforgiving in that way.
So is it good to keep your guys close together?
Yeah, but then it takes you longer to explore the map, and you have a mechanic that's an oxygen tank. You run out of air, so you have to keep that in mind. There's ways to refill it, but also at the same time, there's like, I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically a meter that's building up over time. And I'm not sure what happens when it reaches the end, but I'm pretty sure that's when like the final boss fight happens or something. But you know, there's a level that's rising, and as it rises, things get harder and harder. So the longer you take, the more of that go, or the more that goes up. There's also a stress mechanic that's very similar to Darkest Dungeon. Like you have your health bar, that's one resource you got to manage, but then you also have sanity. So different enemies do sanity attacks. Whoops, that's loud. So yeah, it's a good game. I like the style. I like that it's got these creepy monsters, and you can also like you can upgrade your characters in ways like that, where you kind of sacrifice your humanity, but you get like a tentacle arm that does something. So you become the monster, you know? So that's cool. But I like the whole Lovecraftian thing, and I like the underwater theme, but it's just hard, and it takes a long time for me to make progress in this game. I've been at it 2 weeks, and I feel like I'm maybe, I don't know, maybe a little over half, like two thirds of the way through the game. It's taken me a long time,
Hey,
but it's
Bobby.
pretty good. Yeah.
If you're underwater fighting Lovecraftian monsters with a limited air supply, I'm just gonna say it'd be pretty fucking difficult, man. It'd be a hard. It's not a walk in the park by
Yeah,
any means. If you were
that is
flying through
true.
this game, I'd be like, bullshit.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it does kind of match that. I really struggle with the ranged characters in this. Like, that's super difficult for me to deal with. Like sometimes they really do this like hit and run type of thing, and it's really annoying. But
Well,
I don't know.
that's
This
kind of.
game's $25. It's a little more on the expensive side. I think it was on sale for like 20, and I'm kind of on the fence. Like I don't really want to recommend this. Like, oh, you gotta get this. And I think a lot of people who played that original XCOM game, they may. That game was really hard too, so maybe they would enjoy this again.
I feel like people that play that style of game, like that turn-based style, there are people that super focus on it, and they probably like that game.
Yeah, I would say that, like, if any of the words that he said, Lovecraftian, tactical, turn-based, XCOM, any of those words ring a bell and, like, get you thinking, take a look at it. It's $25. Bobby, did you pay $25 for this?
No, I got it on sale.
How much was it?
I want to say it was like 20 when I got it.
Okay.
Okay,
Ooh,
so the
nice.
other game is XCOM: Terror from the Deep. And that came out in
Oh.
96. Yeah, that makes sense. That
Yeah.
makes sense. Terror from the Deep. Is that, yep, it's on Steam for $5.
But
Ooh,
I
those
think all.
graphics though. Oh boy.
But also those games after the original XCOM, I don't think they were supposed to be that good, right? It was just the first XCOM that was really good.
I don't know. The first XCOM game I played was the one that came out in like 2013, 2014, you know, like the new remake when they kind of rebooted the whole thing.
And that one won like game of the year for like game below $30 or something like that. Like they did really well.
Yeah, it was a really
Yeah.
popular game. I loved it. That first XCOM, it was one of those games where I would come home from work and I would play nothing but that game until it was time to go to bed. And I did that for like a couple of days until I beat it. It just took up all my free time because I was so hooked on it.
Enemy unknown, right? Is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Enemy
Yeah.
Unknown was, let's see.
Yeah, that's the first one of the new of the reboot.
Yeah, of the
And
new
then
ones.
Enemy Within is the second one. Because now you're using the alien tech and they're inside. They're past the perimeter, man. I worked 80 fucking hours this week, so I didn't get to play a goddamn thing. Well, today I spent 8 hours in an elevator sitting on a bucket, as one does. And I got to watch a lot of TV, which is good. I'll get into that later. I got to play one game. I guess I could have played more games, but so I went with Harry Potter Puzzles and Spells, mostly because of the rating. It's like a 4.8, 4.9, which is almost a perfect game. And it's just a match three game, which has been done fucking. I think it's been. I was thinking about this. It must match threes have probably twice more iterations than Tetris style games do. Like, there are so many match threes. It's crazy. I think it just kind of like triggers something in the human brain that just keeps you fucking sliding that thing. There's something about the match threes. This is probably the best one I've ever played, though. You know, it's up to date. The production value is through the roof. It looks fantastic. I didn't hit a paywall after an hour of play. You know, I kept thinking that I could outsmart the game, and I kept doing that for at least the first hour. So, I mean, that's a free download. Why not? It goes sequentially. You know, I went from the ooh, don't have me here. What is ooh? I'm trying to think of his step parents' kid parents. Their last name, the Dursleys.
Oh,
Yeah, it goes from the Dursleys' house to Dudley's or whatever.
hello.
And then the next one is like the train station. I mean, it goes very, very slowly through the entire movies. I thought it was fantastic. I have not one bad thing to say about it. It's a really, really well done game. I'm sure at a certain point there's a paywall. I mean, they got to make their money somehow. But I was enjoying it.
Are there any of those forced advertisements in it?
No. The
Huh.
paywall is like usually you get to a level where you can't get 3 stars unless you spend money, right?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you see this right here? Like Leslie watching the podcast? I want you to see something. You should have never mentioned this game. Do you see the Harry Potter Legos?
Yeah.
All those sets? Now I'm gonna get like these $1, $2 charges of Leslie playing this match three game. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
It says contains ads, offers in-app purchases. So yeah, those are in there, but it's got a very high rating. 4.8 is, I mean, a lot of games are at like 4.4, 4.5. Like that
It's
really
review
doesn't
bomb.
tell you much, but 4.8 is a little on the high side. First review here says you don't have to spend money to win puzzles. So hopefully that's like that all the way through. 'Cause yeah, that's usually what they do is like they kind of warm you up with a few wins early on, and then they get so hard where
Right.
you have to pay money.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't mind if I'm having a really good time, I'll spend $1 or $2 to continue, but it never ends. That's the thing. I always remember Joe Rogan's joke about why climb Mount Everest? The snow at the bottom is the same as the snow at the top. It's the same thing in all these games. The numbers at the bottom that made you happy are the same number. They're the same numbers at the top. They're just bigger numbers. But this was enjoyable. The visuals are great. I mean, top to bottom, I was like, man, they must have spent a lot of money on this, and it definitely shows. And I wanted to keep playing. I was like, no, I got like 8 hours to finally watch some TV, and I did. So I finished The Boys season 2. I watched probably 3 episodes today and finished that.
What'd you think?
Think it's probably the best thing on TV. I mean, either that or The Mandalorian. I don't want to do any spoilers here, but season 2 I think was better than season 1. And I hope this continues. Like, they left it wide open for season 3, and man, is it good. It's like dystopian fucking superhero shit. If you haven't seen it, I believe, I still think, dude, that there's people out there that don't know that you get Prime Video with a Prime account. It's a small section, but I bet there's one or two people out there
My mom.
that listen to the podcast that don't understand that. Like, you get not Netflix level. I mean, some things are higher production than Netflix, a lot of Netflix stuff, but not that much content. But there is a good amount of content that you get with your Prime account, and this is one. This is probably their best show ever, in my opinion. I couldn't get into The Expanse. I mean, I've been slowly getting into The Expanse, but Yeah, The Boys is just a hit right off the bat.
If you had to choose between Boys or Mandalorian, what would you rather have? If you had to see a season three from one of them, what would you rather?
I'm going to go with a specialized answer for a specialized question. I have so little time right now that I would go with Mandalorian because there's no guarantee I'm going to be able to finish a season of anything ever. Right? Yeah. And Mandalorians are like little tiny...
They're vignettes.
Vignettes. Yeah. Little tiny perfect movies, dude. Not perfect, but like... episode 1 and 2 of this season 2, I was like, we're so lucky to be living in this age where we're getting fucking premium fucking Star Wars material beamed to our eyeballs in an elevator fucking sitting on a bucket.
It's gonna get so worse too. It's gonna get better. Yeah. Like it's worse if you have no time, better if you do.
Yeah,
because they said they're working on 5 Star Wars projects for Disney Plus.
Yeah, the Obi-Wan shit should be good if it's up to this level.
Oh yeah, especially with Ewan McGregor back in the saddle, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, Bobby, are you caught up on Mandalorian?
No, I'm at a point now where it's just like I'm kind of waiting for all of them to come out and I'll just binge watch them. I don't know if I do have time at some point, then I will sit through and watch all of them in a row.
That's the thing, though. You don't have to. That was my whole point right now. It's like you said, they're vignettes. You can enjoy their single serving deliciousness.
Yeah, and in a world like where everybody is doing the binge watching thing, I think it's kind of nice that we still have some shows that just release once a week or every other week.
Yeah, even though it's forcing you to wait. Mm-hmm. It's like an Andy's Mint, dude, every episode. You're just like, oh, this is a perfect size, perfect flavor.
It really worked for The Mandalorian because people would just talk, and it wasn't really a show like Lost. Lost is the other show where I think about everybody watching week to week and then, you know, getting on the forums or talking with people at work. What do they think this meant? What's going to happen next? You know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that can be really fun for a show. But Mandalorian wasn't really like that. It wasn't like they left cliffhangers and mysteries, but still, it was like something we were all experiencing together.
So there's actually kind of like that in season 2 of The Mandalorian. Amelia, have you ever seen Star Wars, the Clone Wars?
No, but I was talking to your cousin and my nephew, Jacob. He said that the 3 episodes that they recently made, the thing that ties everything back together, or up together, is the best Star Wars content he's ever seen, or up there. I never watched the show, so like I don't know if I should watch it or not watch it, or should I watch the show first? Or I'm a little confused there. Can I just watch those 7 episodes?
It's definitely great. It's great TV. Like it's great cartoons, animation. It'd be great to watch with your daughters. But what I will say is, like, you know that Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's like eating the popcorn and he's like pointing at the TV?
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, you're like, holy shit, that's that person from the show, because there's so much shit that happens between Order 66 and like Anakin Skywalker betraying Obi-Wan and all that stuff.
What?
But you know what I'm saying. Like, for example, and this is not a spoiler, but you know the red-haired lady in the episode with all, like the heist episode in The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
The red-haired lady, she's super important. But if you just watch The Mandalorian, you have no idea who she is. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, her significance is nothing. It's but like
they're playing to the casuals because it's a good show. Yeah. And it just stands on its own. And they're playing to the deep nerds, because every episode's filled with all these fucking Easter eggs that they can just go down rabbit holes with.
Yeah.
Like the Darksaber. The Darksaber. That's fucking deep, deep, like comic book shit.
Yeah, that's something that is super important in the Clone Wars. Like Mandalore, the Darksaber, all that shit's super important. Like Obi-Wan has a love interest.
I've got a complaint here. So they call him Mando for short.
Yeah.
You spell it Manda.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Just put O at the end of things. Rando. Like that's just Rainbow, people do that all the Marvel. Time. They just put an O at the end of something.
I guess. All right. You guys watch any TV or movies this?
The Mighty Ducks.
You rewatched it?
Me and Leslie watched both of the first. The first two. We're about halfway with the third one. You know the cast from the first movie is the cast for all three of them? They didn't replace a single person.
That's pretty good, I guess.
All the kids, Emilio Estevez, all of them, the same.
The Mighty Duck Man himself.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't remember the third one. I rewatched the first and second one maybe about 10 years ago or so, like back to back, too. And, I don't know. Back then, I thought it held up, but the third one, I think, is where they kind of jumped the shark.
Do you think the second one's better than the first one? Because Leslie thinks the second one's better than the first one.
I don't know. Like, I'd really have to watch them again, but
yeah.
The second one, I remember getting a little wacky. They had the knuckle puck. They is that the one where they go to Hollywood or something?
They go to the junior, essentially the junior Olympics, but they just can't use the Olympics name and stuff, and they face Iceland in the finals.
Okay. Is that the one where they have the whole bit about Rodeo Drive and they're it's like they're in the big city? Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like the first one is probably better because that one actually had some real heart to it. It was, it really tugged at the heartstrings. They had that whole relationship between Emilio Estevez and like his former teacher or something. And then it's kind of a redemption story for him. Yeah. I can't really remember what the whole arc of the second one was, but I'm going to have to go with the first here. What's crazy is, the first one has what?
So many adult topics in it. Like like it starts with Emilio Estevez getting a DUI. Like that is the reason why he becomes a coach is because he has 500 hours of community service. You don't see that in fucking kids' movies anymore. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you really don't. What's crazy is the cast of this movie, man. Like, where are they now on this one's pretty rough. Like, the Goldberg, I think it was, the goalie. There's some famous mug shots of him out there that are just not good. And then I think the main character, the kid, is like one of these wackos or something on Twitter or something. Like, it's not great. And then Emilio Estevez just kind of disappeared, man. The last thing I ever saw here,
he's hosting a PC Gaming podcast, last I heard.
Yeah, he comes to my mom's house every Thanksgiving, and my brother goes, Emilio, every fucking time.
Yeah.
I think the last movie I ever saw him in was the first Mission Impossible movie. When was that? He was in it very briefly. He was the hacker at the very beginning. He gets killed like 5 minutes into the movie. Yeah.
That sucks.
And that was it, dude. And then we never saw him again. Maybe he got killed IRL. I don't know.
Jesus.
We miss him, though. I mean, obviously the good son here. We got left with Charlie Sheen, and look how that turned out.
AIDS.
Although, I got to say, like, the dad is really killing it. Martin Sheen is probably, out of all of them, doing the best here.
He's on the TV show, right?
Yeah, he's on the one where he's, like, gay with Sam Watterson or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
Sam loves that show.
Yeah, real popular show. Haven't seen it. But yeah, still doing good work out there. His kids, don't know about that.
I watched some new kids content, aka the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special 2020.
Oh, I saw that on the how was it?
A lot of people talking
about it. I haven't watched it. It's good.
So like the production quality is good. The voices are great. It's a Lego thing, so you know you're expecting if you play the games. But it's the story is based off of Rey finding a time controlling crystal, and a lot of hijinks ensue, and it's pretty good.
Cool. I was thinking about watching it. Is it a Christmas type thing?
So it's so in the Star Wars universe, they have all the Christmassy tropes like mistletoe and like lights and a tree and like cooking turkey.
Without calling it Christmas, right?
Without calling it Christmas.
And Do they call it Life Day?
Yeah, they call it Life Day.
They do call it Life Day? Wow. Yeah. That's
back from the bold. Original holiday special, yeah. And Chewbacca's family shows up too.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. I wonder
But it's actually done well this time.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about this, and I've been meaning to watch it. Like it, I kind of heard about it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Lego thing. But then I've heard so many people talking about it that now I want to check it out. But George Lucas will not even acknowledge that holiday special. Like he wants it. He tried to buy up all the physical copies of that so they could never be seen again. Like he tried to wipe that off the face of the earth. So I'm really surprised that they would make such a direct reference to it here. Well, I mean, he doesn't.
It's infamous in the writing, like negative coattails. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just naming it that got, you know, people are going to look at it just for that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even bad press is good press.
How long is this thing? Is it like a full length feature film?
No, I think it's 43 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
That's it? Wow.
Yeah, it's real short. 43 or 46 minutes long. It's pretty short.
Huh.
But it's really entertaining. It takes a lot for me to laugh, like sincerely laugh at something. I can see the humor and stuff, but I actually laughed out loud a couple times.
So yeah, usually it takes a dark Korean comedy to make you laugh, right?
Yeah, no, pretty much, yeah. That or your mom's house podcast where you see people getting hit in the head with a traffic light. So,
have you heard of what they're doing? They're doing pay-per-views? Are you watching the pay-per-views?
I've watched one of the pay-per-views.
Yeah, Rogan was like, they're showing videos that rearranges your brain chemistry.
So I haven't watched any of those because I don't really want to watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, I don't want to watch that shit either. Man.
So the one that I did watch was the Two Bears, One Cave, which is Tom and Bert's podcast, and it was a pay-per-view of that. And like one of the bits is that they went to a dominatrix, and like it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's worth the money. It's good content, but I don't think it's worth the money.
So I watched the first episode. So Bert Kreischer, Bobby, if we're losing you, Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura are both Joe Rogan's buddies. They both have their own successful podcasts, and they're also best friends. And so that's what we're talking about. Okay. And so they have their own podcast called Two Bears, One Cave. But also, what I'm bringing up now is Bert's new show on Netflix called The Cabin. Did you watch this, Nick?
Yeah, I think we should do that for the
next episode. So the very first episode, Bobby, they have to field dress a dead emu that just shows up in an igloo cooler. Like they open the igloo cooler, and there's a fucking emu in there, the full thing intact. And they don't have to. It's not like it's a challenge, but they were like, you know, I think it'd be good for our friendship if we cut this thing up together.
So he was like, and, I'm not touching that motherfucker.
Yeah, it's such an awkward scene because they're handling a real life corpse that they end up eating at the end. But an emu is not a regularly sized proportioned animal. It's like all legs and neck, and so they're throwing it around like a fucking sack of potatoes. It's hilarious. Anyway, so I was like, okay, I like the first episode. Let me watch the second episode. Second episode starts, and it's him bending over. I had to turn it off because Mila and the baby were right there, and he's like bending over, and his dick and balls are on Netflix. His dick and balls are showing. I don't know what he was doing. He was trying to tuck them into his shorts or something. And then, I had to turn it off right away. And he's trying to wax his ass. But I had never seen a dick on Netflix, dude. But apparently, you can put dicks on Netflix. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. It was way too early for dick and balls.
Way too early for dick in the day.
So yeah. In this holiday special, this Lego holiday special, did they bring back the original actors to voice the characters?
I think for the majority of them, yes. But there's a couple that you're like, that's not Emperor Palpatine.
Okay. I mean, you know, Anthony Daniels and Lando Calrissian were there, I'm sure, because they show up for everything. They've not stopped capitalizing on those roles for the last 40 years.
But, gotta do what you gotta do, Bobby.
Yeah. I mean, I watched something this week. I watched a lot of stuff, but I'm not going to bore you on all the all the French movies I've been watching this week. But I did want to talk about something I watched a little while ago. a few months ago, we talked about this movie that was coming out called Going for Goldeneye, and it looked like a documentary, and that's what I thought it was, about, you know, the game Goldeneye back in the mid-90s. And I started watching it, and about 1 minute into this, I'm like, this isn't a documentary, this is fiction. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was. It's a fake documentary, and it's meant to be fake. It's not like it's trying to fool you or anything.
It's called a mockumentary, Bobby.
Yeah, I guess it's a mockumentary. So Going for Goldeneye is supposedly the story of somebody, or the idea is that they're still doing Goldeneye tournaments, you know, 20, 25 years later. And it's a documentary about the people that compete in them. And, you know, it plays on all the gamer stereotypes and all that stuff, which is a little like, okay, whatever. But there's some humor in it, and I kind of enjoyed it. And it's like an hour long, so it doesn't overstay its welcome. I didn't play a lot of GoldenEye back in the day. So this was kind of fun to relive a little bit of it. I mean, I did play it, so I'm familiar with it. They have this whole bit about the club, I think it's called. Club. There's a gun in that game that is just, it's like a joke gun. The aim on it is just ridiculous. So, yeah. And it's called the club, I believe. So they have this whole,
remember.
Yeah, I don't remember it too well, but yeah, I think it was named after one of the developers or something. At least that's what they say in here. But
Bobby, do you agree with the 5.5 rating, or it sounds like you're giving it like a 7.7 over here.
It's very amateur. Like it feels like somebody's film project. Now, if it is, they did a fantastic job. I mean, this is like really good for people who are not like necessarily in the business. But yeah, I mean, it's a little stagey, and it's like a little cringy at parts. It's not great, but for what it is, I mean, I kind of enjoyed it. So yeah, good. And if you're like really into GoldenEye, I'm sure you would enjoy it even more. But did you guys play that game a lot back in the 90s?
I played the goddamn shit out of that game. Yeah.
I mean, everybody played it. You couldn't like get away from it. It feels like one of the first, I mean, it was like a 3D shooter on a console. It was like one of the first ones I remember like that.
It's the first one that worked. I think there was a lot of attempts. It was the first one that was playable and got its point, like it did what it was trying to do, and that it just worked. It all came together.
Go ahead.
I was just saying it was kind of a precursor to Halo, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Halo used that as a springboard.
Okay, yeah, this was 1997. And it's by Rare, and I didn't even realize that until I was watching this, that Rare had made this game.
Oh, yeah. Put them on the map.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, that game had one of the weirdest aiming schemes ever, because you had to hold a button to activate your joystick to be able to move your crosshairs, and then you had to press another button to shoot. And it was just super confusing.
Hmm. For Perfect Dark was the follow-up movie or game from that studio, and so much was riding on it, and just really let down. It wasn't very good at all. Do you guys remember Perfect Dark?
Mm-hmm. Weren't you supposed to be able to take your picture and put it in the game in Perfect Dark?
Yeah.
That was something they were supposed to include.
See your face down on polygons like...
I'm looking at one of the taglines here, one of the box quotes for this movie, and it says, King of Kong meets Spinal Tap. That's...
You're saying a lot,
that's a stretch.
I should have gave it out for you. I should have gave it away for you. That was a mockumentary.
I'm going to get a drink up right away.
Well, I didn't really. I think I saw a trailer for this, or like I saw their website. They didn't have a lot of stuff that, like a lot of promotional material for this. And it just kind of, we noticed it one day. I brought it up on the Radar, and then, you know, just kind of forgot about it. And then, yeah, like 1 minute in, I'm like, oh, it's one of these type of movies. All right. Spinal Tap. I got to watch that again. King of Kong was a great documentary, but it's a little dated now. I think there's better versions of that out there.
What's better, Going for Goldeneye or Walk Hard? The Dewey Cox story.
Well, Walk Hard's like 3 hours long, isn't it? I mean, that.
Yeah, it's making fun of the Johnny Cash movie. And that one's 3 hours and 30 minutes longer. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even seen the Johnny Cash movie, but what's so funny about the Walk Hard thing is it's pretty much every biopic of any musician you've ever seen. Like it just hits all the notes, all the same notes that they all hit. And it's kind of weird to watch, even watching like the Queen one, Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever from a few years ago. It's just like after Dewey Cox took the piss out of all that, I don't know why they're still making those movies. But yeah, that movie was like, I don't know, they played it so close like to reality sometimes that it was like, I think it was difficult for people to kind of get the humor. Like they're expecting like, this is like mid 2000s. They're expecting some like slapstick Will Ferrell kind of stuff. But like where Jack Black and those other guys are playing the Beatles, that was hilarious. The whole ripping the sinks out, like always coming back. Tim Meadows, you don't want any of this shit, Dewey. Like that thing coming up constantly.
These are drugs, Dewey. This is cocaine. You don't want none of this. This will ruin your life.
Yeah, there were some great bits in there.
Do you remember? Do you remember the his SNL sketch that became a movie?
The Ladies Man.
The Latest Man.
Oh yeah, dude, I love the Ladies Man.
I am Julius Piano. I am Jay's playing or just fucking kid piano. Oh man, that's what's your favorite SNL movie to SNL bit to movie?
Bit to movie? I don't know, man. Like, I really do like The Ladies Man because I just watched that when I was young, and I've seen it so many times, it's kind of familiar. But I feel like Wayne's World probably has to be the best one. If you gave me time, I could probably think of more. The one about the two guys at the nightclub, that one was like, eh, it's all right. I don't know.
Roxbury.
Yeah, that was a little stretched out. Do you remember some old ones like It's Pat? That one didn't do too well.
No, that did terribly. Amelia, if you want to know what we're talking about SNL bits that made it to movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Wayne's World 2, dude. I don't know. Wayne's World 2 is pretty solid. But
yeah, it's a great
first one was
secondary.
Good too.
Night at the Roxbury, dude, was super solid, man. I think.
I think it hit home to you because that you're part of the club scene back in that time.
No, I mean, it had like, that was like the scene everybody remembers. And there are a few other ones, but like that movie really falls apart third act. Like, I don't even remember the third act in that. Like, how
I
does that
know.
even resolve? What's the main issue in that?
Bobby, I wanted to bring this up only because of how high it was on Reddit for 2 days, and I feel like it was kind of weird. So it's the 30th anniversary of Predator 2, and the title is 30th anniversary of Predator 2, a better movie than you remember it being, or whatever. And what are your thoughts? Is it time to rewatch Predator 2?
Yeah, it is a better movie than you thought or than you remember. Because what you don't realize is there has been bad movie after bad movie when it comes to Aliens and Predator. And we kind of just throw them all in the same pile and just say the first one was good, all the other ones were bad. Or in Alien, the first two were good. But the second Predator is pretty solid. I watched it less than a year ago. And I don't know. It could be a little bit of nostalgia, but I think that one still really works. It's Predator comes to the city, basically. It's got Danny Glover as the main character. It's got Gary Busey in it. He gets chopped in half by a razor blade. Like it does new things. It broadens it. Like I think Predator 2 is a solid movie.
I think that the one scene I do remember is that, well, two things. One, it was really hot. And that's their preferred, I think, hunting temperature because the jungles were really hot. It was like a heat wave in New York. And so there was that. I was like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. And I made that connection. And at the end, when they walk into the spaceship, they see all the trophies. Mm-hmm. And I think they really drive home the fact that these guys are just trophy hunters. Like,
yeah, and he gives him the gun at the end because he respects him as a warrior. So he gives him like a trophy himself.
Yeah, man, Predators is my fucking jam. Predator and Alien, that whole thing is fucking all my jam.
Well, dude, Predator 2, I love the way it starts out. It starts out with a drug bust that is a full-on street war. Like people, cops behind cars shooting guns, drug dealers in the building, just like leaning over and bah, 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 bah. It's just like it's so like 90s Hollywood, like that never happens, dude. Like that never happens in the street, but it's just like, yep, this is what the drug war is.
Every bad guy's using an Uzi for some reason.
Yeah, they all got Uzis. Yeah. There's one guy who runs up to like a pile of cocaine and he just like smears it all over his face and then he grabs the gun and he runs out. And I'm just like, and that's how the movie begins. This is like the first 3 minutes of the movie.
I did that shit Tuesday, man. What are you talking about? It's totally believable.
I'm going to show my daughter that movie. Like, this was the 90s and early 80s. Yeah.
And then the Rasta guys, the voodoo guys. Yeah, man.
And you're really remembering this really well, man. Oh, yeah, you saw it.
Yeah, I watched it not too long ago.
But it's no way it's better than Predators. I think Predators was a really good movie.
Is that the newest one? The one that like where they had like gene hybrids and shit like that?
That's the one with by the Mexican Shane director.
Black. Oh, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez.
You're talking about the one where they captured all those people and they put them in that area. One of them turns out to be a serial killer.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I got to rewatch that one.
I'll fight you on this, dude.
That one's one of the better ones for sure.
But yeah, for sure.
I'd have to watch it.
Predator number one, and then I put Predators right behind of it.
Okay.
Do you remember the Alien vs. Predator where it's like the main character is that black lady that you've never seen in any other movie ever and never saw after? And then they go into like these Aztec temples and it turns out they're like a xenomorph, like a breeding pool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, conceptually, I thought it was a great story. I thought because
what was saw it? Saw that one in the theater.
It explains why there's pyramids on every continent, or they say that there's pyramids on every continent. It was all because we were like praying homage to the fucking predators or whatever as being the... Yeah. You know, back in ancient times, I thought that conceptually, but you know, they made a fucking teen, fucking horror flick with beautiful idiots running around getting chopped up by puzzles. It wasn't good, unfortunately. Yeah.
That's the one where she gets like a face scar at the end or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and he gives her like an alien head to use as a weapon. Like she like puts it on her forearm. I'm like, what? What is that gonna do?
It looks cool, man. You get cool points.
Yeah. Plus 5 of charisma.
You know, while we're talking about watching things, I should mention the Game Awards. It's coming up. Boy. Yeah. Every December. This year, obviously, they're not going to be doing it in person. They were usually doing it at like Vegas or LA. This year, they're going to be doing it remotely, and it's kind of cool what they're doing. They're going to have it at different places all over the world. So they're going to like do part of it in LA and part of it in Tokyo and part of it, I think, in the UK or London or whatever. So it's going to bounce around and we'll see how it turns out. But they announced the nominees. Have you guys had a chance to look at these? I mean, I don't want to go over all of them.
Did you guys see what got nominated for Game of the Year that like surprised everybody?
No, what was it?
Hades.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me, man.
So, like, compared to everything else that's up there, everything else is like a AAA game, multi-million-dollar budget, and you got Hades.
Well, let me read what the Game of the Years are. So, Doom Eternal, okay. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades. Animal Crossing New Horizons, and The Last of Us Part 2. And now what's interesting is all these games that I just read that are nominated for Game of the Year, they populate almost every other category too. Like you go down to the different categories and it's almost all the same game. One cool thing, I did want to give a shout out to Phasmophobia. What did that got nominated in some category.
Can't it was like best horror multiplayer or something like that, I don't know.
They made a category just for it. best horror film show, game that uses in-game voice recognition.
It was something like an Among Us best mobile game, but it was nominated for something like, I don't know, best like breakout game or something like that. I'll have to maybe if I just search for it here. Phasmophobia. Okay, it's under Best Debut Game. So, yeah.
What are the other nominees for that one?
Carrion.
Oh, cool.
Mortal Shell.
Yeah.
Raji, an ancient epic. Don't know.
These are almost like, oh, it's, yeah, they're the first game from a particular studio. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Like, yeah. Your first time out, you did pretty well. Yeah, you get some recognition for that for sure.
Yeah.
What Hades is the opposite of that. Hades is the culmination of, I don't know, 10 plus years of making these really good small indie games, and that everybody talks about, and they're buzzworthy, and they're good games, and the soundtracks are good, and the art is good. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I feel like these games kept getting better and better and better. Pyre was a weird one. They tried to go a different direction, but then now they took everything that they learned and put it all into one game. And now we get a near perfect game. I would not, out of what you just said, I would pick Hades out of that group.
Mm-hmm. What's sad is I'm looking at these games, and I don't think I played a single one of them. Oh, yeah. Doom Eternal. I played Doom Eternal. That's it. And that's usually the case, though, because it's always a lot of console games. But still.
You never even finished it.
No, halfway through it. But Hades is definitely a game that I got to play.
Yeah. Have you guys seen that the Doom Eternal DLC came out?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We talked about
the standalone one. Yeah. Did you play it, Nick?
Fucking hard, dude. It's so hard. They give you all the guns in the beginning, and it's still hard.
You know what it is, dude? I bet it's because, like, that game requires you to have. You got to get good at that game, and being good at other games doesn't help you that well. It's all about having these, like, internal timer. You're like, okay, this is ready. I need to do this. I need to do that. It's its own type of game. And I bet if you go right from Doom Eternal to the DLC, you'll do fine. But if you let that muscle go for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and you haven't played Doom Eternal, then you're not going to do very well. You know what I mean? It's a very specific muscle memory for that game.
Yeah, because you're like, okay, shoot a grenade in Demon's mouth, wait 2 seconds, jump, punch.
Right.
Like, you get all that shit down.
It's almost like a fucking... What do you call it? A rhythm game of gore, almost. It's like, it's just running away while you're trying to get things to come back from cooldown in the right order. I don't know.
Hmm. All right. I'm trying to find the date. I think this is December 10th that the Game Awards are going to be airing, and you can watch it anywhere, YouTube, Twitch. It'll probably be on the front page of Steam along with the sale. But yeah, December 10th, and I think it's 3:30 Pacific time that it starts. It's usually about a 3-hour show.
Yeah. But what do we think about last year? Was last year the year that they did all these like weird vignettes? No, that was the Steam Game Awards that did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The format for the Game Awards show has been pretty much the same for the last 5 years, since 2015. And they've done a pretty good job of it. I mean, there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of advertisements. There's a lot of, you know, obviously they got to pay for this stuff, right? So they're selling ad time. But they usually do a lot of premieres as well. They announce new things here. So maybe there'll be some of that, but it'll be interesting to see how they do it without the live crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
Now Keanu Reeves will come out and everyone cheer. You're wonderful.
Did you see what they tweeted out the other day? They're like, guys, there's actually no cyberpunk.
We just want to hang out with Keanu Reeves. Yeah, I saw that. That shit's hilarious.
Is that like an early April Fool's joke or something?
No, just like... a throwaway line that was pretty funny.
Their social media team is just insane. Like, it's so funny. Like, the guy who's like, I need to know if it for sure is coming out on November, blah blah blah, because I'm putting time off in, and I need the exact dates. And they're like, Scout's Honor, it's gonna release on this date. 2 days later, they're like, we're delaying it to December, and he's like, fuck. Because he just put his time off.
Wow. All right. Well, since no one's talking, I guess I'll talk about my last thing. Team Fortress 2, getting back in it. Yep. Why not?
Well, I talked
We won't talk for a month.
There, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Wait, what?
What have you been doing within the game?
Oh, well, I mean, the reason I'm bringing it up is because I do have some new things to talk about. So, first of all, I changed the language in the game to French. Sometimes I do this when I'm trying to practice another language. I'll change my computer or phone into another language, but that's kind of a bold move to do with my computer or phone because I rely on it so much for work. So I thought, hey, this would be good. Change the game, the in-game language to that. And yeah, I think it's helping a little bit, but it's also making some things super difficult when I'm trying to do the crafting. There's a lot of different words that I'm learning now. So that's been fun. But also, the game itself has changed a little bit, not in a good way, unfortunately. There is a lot of bots. Like, it is constant. So I started playing a couple of days ago, and I started noticing the same bots showing up in servers, and it's always the same thing. It's a sniper, and they're usually like looking straight up to the sky, and then they just like instantly twitch and headshot you, and you're dead. Usually like one shot and you're dead, depending on what class you're playing. People will become aware of this. They'll eventually kick the bot, but they stick around long enough to kind of ruin the game for a little while. Bot's gone, then another one comes back in. Sometimes there's up to four of these bots in a game. And the whole kicking thing, like, I understand Team Fortress 2 is an old game. They probably aren't putting as much work into it as they used to, but it really needs a little bit of a facelift in a few ways, a few quality of life changes. Like the whole vote kicking system could be improved a little bit. Also, the inventory systems, like that could be cleaned up a lot because the whole
Yeah,
crafting
dude,
thing
that's
is a
the worst.
mess. Yeah, the crafting
So
thing makes
bad.
no sense. It's just like, come on, dude, really? But the bot thing is a serious problem. The first day, I kind of like shrugged it off, whatever. Like it happened for a while. I went to another server. Things were okay. I had some great games. And then today I was playing again and it was just constant. And people are always typing to the other team, kick your bot. Because you can only vote kick people off of your team. You can't do it for like an opposing team member for obvious reasons. So it's just. It was constant. I switched servers, same thing. Just bots coming in, getting kicked, coming back in, and just the game was always just, I don't know. It didn't outright ruin the entire experience, but it just kills everybody's fun for a brief period of time. So it's really
That sucks,
unfortunate that
yeah.
that's happening, and I'm not sure why they can't do anything about it. Like, why can't you just ban IPs or Steam accounts or like, there's
Because
got.
probably doing anything costs money, and there's the game's not making money at this point,
Well, I
or
mean,
not much.
if you're running a TF2 server, banning an IP is not a problem. I don't know if that has to be done manually or if there's a way to automate it. So, like, if I don't know. I feel like there's a solution here though, because it's absolutely killing the momentum of the game, and it's a tragedy really, because it's such a great game.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because my new genre of video game, aka the party only game, which is like Among Us or Unfortunate Spacemen, where it's not good enough to play on the public multiplayer, where you just essentially have to play with your friends?
I don't know. I mean, even with the whole bot problem, like I'm still queuing up into games and I'm still having a pretty good time. So I don't know. Apparently it's not that bad. But at TF2, the whole reason why I installed it, I mean, I was talking with some of our listeners and one of them was mentioning like getting into a game and I was like, he had never played TF2 before. And I'm like, that's outrageous. So I installed it and I
How
really
dare you,
do.
sir?
I really do need a game right now where I can jump in and jump out pretty quickly, and TF2 is perfect for that. But it's always funny when people play TF2 for the first time, and I don't know. It's having like grown up with the game and playing Team Fortress Classic, like you have all these ideas about it. So to hear someone else's opinion and when they differ from yours, you're like, man, where are they getting that from? But you know,
Yeah.
it must be a really chaotic and different experience, and maybe a little overwhelming to jump into such a chaotic game. Because there's a it, we I had this experience when I jumped in last time, and Sniper was playing with us, and he was like, you know, he didn't understand the whole rock, paper, scissors thing of the classes. And, you know, like I'd look at him, I'm like, oh, dude, you're going to die. And then boom, he was dead. You know, it's just, you don't, even as casual as the game is, I feel it's still, there's a lot going on and a lot you need to understand to do well. So I don't know. It's one of these weird things where it's like, I want to say the game is casual, but at the same time, it's like, it's not really though. Like there's actually a lot you got to know about this game if you want to like be good at it.
If you want to,
there's a lot of stuff you can't assume. There's a lot of like intrinsic knowledge that you just get from playing a million times. You know, the difference between this turret and that turret, or the way you approach this situation versus that situation. That's just, you got to play it for. Oh, Nick, you had asked us that. I don't know why I didn't answer this correctly. But you said, what class is the class that you play the most? I have 900 hours in Engineer alone. So, yeah, that's the answer. The next one's not even close.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine's heavy because I'm that fucking bro that's like, I'm big. Heavy, big. I'm heavy because I'm big. But it segues into our next fucking topic, which is Deep Rock Galactic, because the first fucking time in a video game, and I'm playing this with my friends, I'm not the heavy gunner guy. I'm not the minigun guy. I play as the
driller.
No, I play as the platform guy.
Oh, the engineer.
Yeah, that's who I play as. And so that game is amazing. Like, I've heard you guys recommend it 1,000 times, never checked it out. But now that it's free, I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I thought the game was so good that I bought a DLC just to buy skins, just to be like, here's some money for entertaining me for so long.
Oh, so you got it on Xbox Game Pass?
Yeah.
So how do you get the DLC on Xbox Game Pass? Is that like the options show up to buy just so, right in their store page?
When you look in the store page, all the DLC are below it. And from my account, from what I understand, what I looked up online, if you have a Steam account, you can connect them. Okay. But your purchases don't go through. So whatever you have the most, because you can still join games with each other, but it's better to play on whatever you have the most progress on.
Mm-hmm. So, did we ever figure out if someone on Steam can play with someone on Xbox Game Pass?
I believe so. From my understanding, you can just add your Steam friends on Xbox, because the app is shittily named Xbox on your PS on your PC.
Yeah,
and so all your social media through that is just Xbox. It's just the Xbox app, mm-hmm. And so. There is a little area that says import Steam friends and import Steam library and connect Steam account. And you can directly invite them.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, dude, we should definitely play some of this then. Like, I haven't played in like maybe about 2 weeks, but I do want to get back in, do some of the quests, stay fresh on that game. And I never like playing the engineer, so won't be stepping on your toes there.
So actually, I'm checking it right now. So even though you can import your Steam information, and you can import your Steam friends, and you can import your Steam profile, you cannot play with people cross-platform.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, I wonder if you can play with people who are playing on the Xbox.
That's what it does say, that Xbox One and Windows 10 version of Microsoft is a different title than on Steam. It's an Xbox Play Anywhere title.
Okay.
Which means you can play cross-platform between
PC
and Xbox, but it does not support, and this is on Deep Rock's page, the Steam version does not currently support cross-platform play. That means you are not able to play with people who have bought the game on Xbox One or Windows 10 version, aka Microsoft Store.
That's ridiculous.
That's too bad to split the community like that. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason that they've done that. It probably is some technical reason, but that is too bad.
And I'm being prejudiced here, but I feel like console gamers aren't going to get... They're not going to get it as much as PC gamers did.
No, because even though this game does feel very casual and easy to a lot of people, like you've got to be, if you're playing on a harder difficulty, you've got to be really quick on the draw with some of this stuff. Like I can't imagine like using the controller and trying to aim like the grappling hook and to swing around while shooting or like shoot zip lines, like do a lot of those things like that. I couldn't imagine doing that with the controller, but I'm terrible with the controller.
One thing that I've noticed is that in that game, when you adjust the difficulty, I feel that it's the perfect combination of enemies growing in health and enemy numbers. Because I played the game solo, I played the game with a full party, I played with a half party, I played on easy, I played on tier four, whatever, like whatever they let you do before you promote your character. And it's definitely a challenge when you go to tier three and four, but I feel that it's one of those games that you A, have to be really good at the class you play with. If you're playing on a
Yes,
console, it's going to take a
absolutely.
long fucking time to get to that point. Because I used to be one of those people like, oh, I'm really good at Call of Duty, and I used to play on a team, and I used to play in a league and all this stuff, and I'm really good. And then I was like, man, I'm old now. I'm going to build a PC and PC game and stuff. And I still believe that I was better on on console than I was on PC on Call of Duty. And then I played Call of Duty 2 weeks ago with cross-platform. Every single Xbox user and PS4 user was on the bottom every single time. There was not a doubt. And people were like calling hacks and stuff. No hacks. It's insane to think that people can perform as good as they do on PC. I mean, against PC players as they are on console. It's so bad. There's such a difference that when you matchmake on console now, there's an option for non-PC player play.
Yeah,
You have
it's
to
not even
though.
close.
You have to.
For a first person shooter,
That's
it's
why
not
it's
even
called a
close.
PC gaming. That's why it's called PC Master Race, dude. Can't touch
Yeah.
us.
I just built a new computer just for Cyberpunk. PC Master Race. Step up.
All right.
Which
I'm
I'm
out of
excited for
stuff to
now.
talk about. What else you guys got?
What do you got,
Shadowrun.
Nick?
So tomorrow is the big day for all of us WoW fans. Yeah. Good job, guys. So
Did you get
tomorrow
a
is the.
preview for this? Have you played it?
No, I haven't played. I'm not in the public test realm, but tomorrow is the day that the expansion drops. There's a lot of new things in the game. For example, there's four factions now. And
As
there's still
opposed
the
to
Alliance and
what?
the Horde. Except for, how like there's normally just the Alliance and the Horde, right?
Right.
Well, in the afterlife, there's four areas you can go. There's like the really clean area, there's like the necromancers, there's like the nature people, and then there's like the war people. And
I know where
you
I'm
can.
going. I know where I'm going out of those.
And so you, at the end of your leveling, because apparently leveling to 60, because they did a level squish and it's 50 to 60 now, you level 10 levels. It's anywhere, depending on your how many people you have in your party and what class you're playing, is anywhere between 5 and 10 hours. And I'm planning tomorrow, because the game drops at 6 p.m. my time, 3 p.m. your time, me and four of my other friends, we're going to party up and we're going to play at least for 6 hours straight if the servers are not taking a shit,
Right.
which is the ultimate fear. But the goal is to get to max level before Thanksgiving. So
Seems doable.
That's good. Yeah, you can do it. 10 levels? Fuck it.
10
Just run through
levels,
it.
but it's also, this is something that's so different from when you played WoW and now. When you played WoW, did you ever remember add-ons? Either one of you?
No.
I mean, I played WoW not too long ago. I think 2018 was the last time that I played. So, and
So.
yeah, a lot of add-ons they ended up building right into the game, it seemed, but.
Exactly. And so, for example, one of the add-ons that it's for me, it's so weird because when you play these games, if you're a normal person, like, that has a life, you want to experience the story. You want to know why you're doing these missions and these quests. But me and my friends, we're a bunch of sweaty tryhards that want to do raiding as soon as it comes out, where we download an add-on called Azeroth Autopilot. And it tells you where to go. It just says, it has an arrow in the middle of your screen. It says, walk this direction. You click on the character. It goes through all the chat bubbles by itself, accepts the quests, and then it tells you where to go to kill the things that you need to kill. And it highlights the things that you need to kill or the thing that you need to pick up.
Oh, that sounds good to me, man. That's my shit right there. I don't want to be... Like, running around is not gameplay. And reading through chat bubbles is not gameplay. I don't think I ever read one quest in WoW. Like, what you're saying fucking sounds awesome.
Yeah, so, like, so that's the thing that they've said in this expansion and to advertise to people like you. They said to get to max level now because of the fact that you can boost a character for $10, right? You can buy the game, buy the expansion, and boost a character, I think all for $69, what you would pay for, like, a AAA game. Right. And you would get to level 50, and the time it takes you to get to the end game content would take 6 to 10 hours on average. But if you have Azeroth Autopilot, it's usually 6. And so you can get to late game content compared to back in the early 2000s, where it was 8 days of playtime, 114 hours to level up to max level compared to 6 or 10. And so that's how they're getting people like you that don't have that much time to play again.
Right. What is it? The dungeons that are supposed to be a roguelike? Is it the dungeons?
So there's a new thing that's like a roguelike. So, you know how there's daily quests, right?
Right.
Where you have a substantial amount of income. It's to boost the WoW economy so people can't sell gold. There's also this thing where it's like a daily roguelike. And you climb this tower, and I don't know the name of it, to be honest, but it's a tower that you can do every day, and you get a daily reward. And it could be like a currency, or it could be like an item. And like, there's different things where it's like...
Sorry, I got to cut you off. Can you tell Leslie to leave her hair alone? Because it's super distracting. What is she doing with her hair back there?
She's listening to you guys, so she's going to hear that. Babe, stop messing with your hair.
What? What? She's like attacking her own hair.
She's pulling out her hair because I'm probably talking too much. I'm her least favorite person on the podcast.
You're not on the podcast. You're a man in the field at the very best, yeah. Dude.
I'm like, do you remember MXD? I'm a Guy LaDouche. I'm here with the campers on the fourth level, and. So Shadowlands is dropping tomorrow. It drops at 3. You're still able to buy the game, buy the boost and everything. Bobby, if you want to ruin your life, that's a good way to do it. Amelia, you have too much work. So eventually when you finish building the second Empire State Building, you can play again. Yeah.
January, I'm thinking.
You think January you're going to be free to play like game? What?
I'm going to go back to an 8-hour work day. Late December, early January. Yeah.
It sucks being part of the community and being part of AKA your family as well and not being able to play video games with my only family member that plays video games.
Yeah, I know.
And so
I realized sometime about 3 years ago that you had just turned into a bigger version of me, and I appreciate it, but it sucks that we don't get the game too much. Especially when you're like, come on, old man. You don't know how to fucking search through your inventory. Like, this guy grew up on video games. I guess so did I, but he grew up on modern video games. So he's just a lot better at that.
I blame my whole life and the shittiest person that I am on Metal Gear Solid. That is the first game I ever played. The first game I ever played was Metal Gear Solid as a 6-year-old. You don't have a 6-year-old a game about assassinating people.
Yeah, I guess not.
And then Twisted Metal, and then Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, that was the wrong order. It should have been Crash first.
Yeah, it should have been Crash first. And believe it or not, the first one to ever make me cuss was Crash Bandicoot. I said bastard, and then my mom whooped my ass.
Yeah, she does that.
She, a lot.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, do you have any stories of growing up of me as an uncle? I have a terrible memory, so.
Well, you took me to my first dedicated rated R horror movie. I'll never forget this.
What was it? I don't remember these things. What was it? So
the thing I remember, okay, there's like four distinct memories. I was 8 years old. Okay. Yeah. American Werewolf in Paris.
I took you to that?
Okay. I begged you. I wanted to hang out with you because my brother wanted to hang out with you, and I wanted to hang out with my brother and my uncle at the same time, right? Yeah. And I begged my mom for $20. And I was like, Mom, give me $20 so I can go to the movies with Emilio. And she's playing poker with my tias. And so my aunts, right? So Emilio, I mean, Bobby, imagine this, right? You're 8 year old. You're fat. You're dumb. Your grandma just cut your hair that day, cut the back of your ear because your mom's too cheap to take you to a fucking barbershop, okay? Your grandma has 1,000 cats in the backyard. It smells like old carpet and cockroaches in the house, even though it's spotless for some reason. They got a giant fucking TV that I don't know where the fuck it came from. And your uncle goes, hey, does your older brother want to go see American Werewolf in Paris? And I remember you trying to convince my mom. You were like, he shouldn't go to this. I'm almost like, it shouldn't be that bad. Just get him out of my hair. And so I remember my kid Emma smoking Virginia Slims and shit. Like, wow. It was so grimy. Like, it's one of the best memories of my life. But we went to go see American Werewolf in Paris. The first scene is 1,000 people dying in a rave, being cut alive. Right? And so I'm crying in the first 10 minutes of the movie. I'm dying. And I'm like, I wonder why I'm a fucking person now. And then the scene after that is the sex scene. And I'm like, holy shit, this is the first time I'm seeing boobs. I'm like, I think I like these. And so after that, like, you gave me like a box of candy to calm me down. You're like, here, shut up. And I was like, okay, like, I get, like, this is my life now. This is what I live to do. And then every time I went over my grandma's house after that, Bobby, I was pounding on Emilio's door, not even knowing if he was fucking there. I was like, Emilio, open up. And like, you're like, all right, we'll watch some Simpsons or something. And you would play EverQuest. And I remember watching EverQuest. I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I wish I was a wizard. Like,
I was a wizard.
Yeah.
All right. Save your other stories. We're gonna do one per episode. That's good, though. See, I don't remember any of that. I have a terrible
American memory. Werewolf in American Werewolf in Paris. Yeah, never forget.
Here's another thing. So Warhammer's all over your life now. Have you looked at this Warhammer 40K Battle Sister?
Excuse me. Do you mean I get to be the nuns with guns?
You get to be the nuns with guns, dude.
The boobs with bazookas, as they call them.
Yeah, have you taken a look at it? It doesn't look like the best shit I've ever seen on VR. This is on the Oculus Store, and they're previewing it right now. I don't think it's available.
I think all the sweaty boys are gonna definitely, you know, log in, and the first thing they're gonna do is look down to see if they have boobs. But I'm a proponent of any Warhammer content. So if something new comes out. If it's bad, I'm going to call it bad. But if it's good, I'm going to call it good. Does this look like a rail shooter with a Warhammer skin on it? Yes. Does it look like fun to be a Sister of Battle, which, mind you, are literal nuns with guns for you, Bobby, the uneducated? And to beat the fuck out of Chaos Cultists? Yeah, it sounds amazing. It sounds like the shit.
From what I saw, it doesn't look great. I mean, I've seen better VR shooting. I hope it's at least fun. But again, with a lot of these Warhammer games, you're kind of just paying for the ambiance and you're paying to get into that world, which is all metal and war. The other game that I kind of played, Warconia sent me over Sex with Stalin. It's a terrible game. It's not very good at all. It's a visual novel I feel like. You were sent back from the year 2300 to talk Stalin, I think, out of killing all the people that he killed by seducing him, I think is the whole premise of the game. So you have to basically go through a ton of dialogue to get through a very few prompts. There's not very many prompts at all. So you read for 5-10 minutes, and then a 3-answer option comes up, and you get, you know, 1, 2, or 3. And then I guess one of these ends up with you fucking him in the ass because you're naked because you just came through the time
the sex slave shoot.
No. You just came through the fucking, you know, like Terminator. He comes in naked. I guess that's their whole argument for it. And he's like, he talks about your small dick at the very beginning. Yeah, the voice, the Russian accent, you would imagine they would have got at least somebody who could do a good Russian accent. That's off. The graphics are surprisingly good for a game this crass, I guess. I can't recommend it. I hope he didn't pay too much for it. Yeah, return it if you can, Wakonius. Thanks.
From what I understand, it's one of those gimmick shock games.
Yeah.
You see a lot of wiener, and you know, it's funny, and it's funny the first time you play through it, but there's no substance. Yeah. Bobby's not going to pick this up.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think that's going to be a pass.
Bobby, this is going to, your hat would look so much better if you tucked your ears in.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. Shut up. Don't tell him to do that. We talked about this before the fucking podcast, okay? The new young dumb people keep plugging their fucking ears in their hats. And it's so goddamn weird. Yeah, don't do it, Bobby.
What's up with that? Why do they do that? That looks so weird. I mean, it's not even – okay, so I'm wearing the Left 4 Dead 2 Ellis trucker hat right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's
stunting on people.
Yeah, it's – for all you Zoomers out there who don't know what Left 4 Dead is.
Try it with your ears tucked in, Bobby. Let me see it.
Bring out your pistol.
I don't think I can, man. This isn't like a snapback.
You can.
Like, or this isn't...
Just tuck them in.
Ow, that hurts. Yeah, that looks stupid, dude.
No, it looks better, dude. I think
you look like a fucking fish. Don't do that.
I think it looks better.
I'm going to be the Joey Diaz here. Don't fucking do it, cocksucker.
It's so stupid, dude. I mean, I haven't been out much, so I don't really see people too much anymore. But when I saw that for the first time out in public, I was like, I don't know about that, dude. And then I saw it again. Better. I don't know. Did you see this on the Joe Rogan podcast? Is that why you're into it? Like, is this?
No, listen. The worst part of the human body are looking. Our vaginas and ears, they're the worst. They make no sense. They're all ruffled up. It's bad shit. It's just like whatever it grows into.
Days have left the podcast now because of that.
I think if you hide those things away, man, you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude. Because like, there are some hats that you put your ears into, right? But that like not like a baseball cap. Like
those are winter hats. Bobby, you have two devils on your shoulder. You got the family man and you got the new family man. Trust the younger guy, all right? Don't tuck your fucking ears in. You're not an elf.
I'm not going with the ear tucking. I don't get that. It's like in 2000, I want to say like 2005 or so, like all of a sudden, like white guys started wearing bandanas on their head. Like, you remember that?
That was from Rock of Love, that VH1 show. Okay. Where that guy from Steel Panther had like 20 hoes on the show.
Okay. And, wait, Steel Panther?
What was it? He was blonde.
It was Brett something or other. I know who you're talking about. But yeah, no, this was like something else. We went through this phase in like the mid-2000s where it was kind of like this genre of music of like, it was like white rappers, but not like Eminem. And I want to say it was like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like Cottonmouth Kings or dude, that kind of music, like this, sometimes like reggae style or something like that. But And there was just all these groups popping up, and they always had like these bandanas. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe the look here. It was something so specific to that time period. You don't really see it anymore, but it was just, it was super weird. And I remember starting to see like a lot of people wearing bandanas, and it was just not a good look. Beastie Boys? No.
I'm just going to say here, I'm drunk and I don't even know what we're talking about at this point. Can we get back onto the list?
Terrible
what
are we talking fashion about? Ideas. What's up next? What we're talking about. I think
Bobby, Bobby, did you put Nick on your list or did you move?
No. I didn't get my own box because I'm temporary. What I have a question about, because we're heading towards listener questions here, is what are your thoughts on achievements in video game? Because Steam has achievements, right? And no, it's not like Xbox where people are like, I have to get all the achievements in every video game, because that's how you really squeeze out the value of your video game. You know, beat the game on the hardest difficulty, kill 20 demons by kicking them in the nuts. What are your guys' thoughts on achievements in video games?
I might be off here, but I feel like it's one of the few things that went from consoles to PC as opposed to the other way around. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a mechanic that they have, and it became popular, and then...
Well, it became a requirement, I think, on like Xbox. Like when Xbox started their like store where they would take all these like non-AAA games in, you know, like 10, 15 years ago or whatever, and became super popular. That was like one of the requirements that they had. Like you need to have... achievements for your game because it was, I don't know, I feel like they're kind of manipulative and they get you to play the game in a way that's not organic. Like I'm kind of in general against them. That being said, there are some games that I play so much that I do start achievement hunting, like Killing Floor 2 or Team Fortress 2. Sometimes I'm just like, I've done so much in this game, I need some different type of goal. But what I hate about them is that sometimes you'll be playing a game. And, you know, that achievement thing is just such a, like, you know, it like taps into like something in all of us where we're like, oh, little rush, little dopamine hit, you know, like, that's cool. I want to get more of that. So what happens is like you play a game and it's like, you know, do this attack so many times. And it's like, rather than be good at the game or like use whatever attacks you want for whatever situation and figure it out yourself, you're trying to force some certain play style on yourself because you're just trying to get an achievement. And I don't know. That's what I don't like. It all comes down to self-control. But the problem is, like, that's an easy excuse for us to say, like, well, just don't play the game like that. But it's just like, I don't know, man. When they're, like, manipulating human nature, I kind of feel like the responsibility, like, it is a little bit on me, but not entirely here.
Yeah. Bobby, I remember you, like, I can't remember my own address, but somehow I just remember things. I remember you complaining about this the very first time. It was on Wolfenstein.
And huge problem in Wolfenstein.
Yeah, it wanted you to do 10 slide tackle attacks or sliding attacks where you shoot your guns and kill the people. And not that that's a huge fucking problem, but exactly what you had just said.
Yeah,
there's definitely pluses and minuses. It's all about how it's applied.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Wolfenstein was that they made it so, hey, you want to unlock this upgrade, you have to get this achievement. You have to do 10 slide tackles before you increase ammo or whatever. You know,
I don't like that.
But here's the converse to that, dude. It's almost exactly what you just said, but somehow it works. In Binding of Isaac, every achievement is an unlock.
It's everyone is a new item or a new unlock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But Binding of Isaac is a game that really hinges on its replayability. You don't play through Binding of Isaac once, beat the game and put it down like you do with like Wolfenstein. The whole idea of that game is like every time you have a new run, you're going to do something different or things are going to be different, but you're going to have another run after that. Like there's always another run. So I think it works better in that type of game.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of 3 weeks, last Binding of Isaac DLC. Oh,
baby. Seriously, it's like I said it before. I don't even think about it. Like if I think about it, then I'm going to fucking make myself miserable waiting for it. So you just fucked me up for the next 3 weeks, but Nick, thanks.
No problem. Go pee. I know you got to go pee because we're about to take our headphones off. So, Bobby, the reason why I brought up achievements in video games is, and you kind of hit the nail on the head on my main talking point, is the game modifying the way you're playing the overall experience. And as one RTS lover to another, do you think that they belong in RTS games? And the reason why I ask this is that you always log into fucking Discord and you see me, and it's always Total War Warhammer 2 every time. Maybe Deep Rock Collective, but 90% of the time it's Total War Warhammer 2. And in Total War Warhammer 2, there's an achievement for not only being in the game with every race, an individual achievement for each race, but there's also an achievement for beating the game with each race individually with on the hardest difficulty. Now, would you say that, let's say, in the next Age of Empires 4 and it drops on Steam, which probably not because it's a Windows game, but if they were like, beat the game with the French, beat the game with the British, beat the game with the Russians, would you be okay with that if it didn't exactly unlock parts of the game, but maybe like cosmetics?
Yeah, I think something like that's fine. You know, that's kind of a strategy some of these games use when they have to get around that whole requirement from a publisher or whoever is putting it on them, like where they have to have achievements. Like if you just make your achievements, like beat the game with this or beat the game with that, like that's, I feel like that's valid. Cause if you like the game that much, you're probably going to do that anyway. You know, like Warcraft 3, I'm playing that on the hard mode. When they did the reforged version, they had, it's not achievements, but they have like portraits that you can unlock.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
as you beat it, like if you beat it on normal, you get this portrait, or if you beat it on hard, then you get that portrait. So I'm playing it through on hard, like, which is actually really difficult, and I haven't done that before, like not the entire game, and it's super challenging, but I kind of enjoy it because I've played the game so much. I do need a challenge, and you know, there's that little added motivation of getting the portrait. You know, you put that on, you go into multiplayer, and people know you're not messing around. Although I am terrible in multiplayer.
That brings up another question for me to you. How do you feel about, in strategy games, AI cheating? Do you get what I'm saying?
No, so what's AI cheating?
So the best example is Civilization, right? On turn two, let's say you're making 20 gold. But if you're playing on the hardest difficulty, the AI is making 100 gold. And it's a pseudo difficulty. It's just making the resources against you harder. It's not making the AI better in per se, like it would in shooter games.
Yeah.
A lot of studios don't have the time or the money to be programming AI that's going to outsmart you. So that's their way of circumventing them spending 100,000 hours fucking setting up some sort of clever UI that, you know, on a game that might even not even do that well. So an easy way to do it, and it's a lazy way. That's really, let's say what it is. It's a lazy way to up difficulty. Like one way to up difficulty in a first-person shooter is to have better pathing, cover blocking, just better tactics, right? But that, what I just said in three phrases, it takes so much programming, so much fucking everything, just tons of money, tons of hours, or you just give them all 50 plus health and plus 10 damage, and you end up with something similar, but not nearly as rewarding.
Well, I don't know. I think it depends on the game. I mean, yeah, it would be nice if like the AI was increased, but in Killing Floor 2, I don't think they really, when you up the difficulty, the enemies do more damage and they have more health, and that's pretty much the only difference, I think. They might be a little bit more aggressive, I'm not sure, but I think it totally works in a wave survival mode.
Yeah,
in other games, like in Warcraft 3, I can definitely tell a difference in the AI. Like they macro a lot more with their units.
So that's definitely a huge difference between Reforged and Original. Is in the Original, I remember playing the Original and playing on the hardest difficulty, and the enemy would not stop spawning units, even though you could literally look at their workers not chopping down trees and mining stuff. And it's like, it's unfair to the point where, like, you can't destroy the computer's economy. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's like, is that considered difficulty, or is that considered a roadblock? Because it doesn't really make the game harder. It just makes it more annoying.
It's artificial difficulty, but it is.
Yeah.
And it is what it is, man. Here's the thing. You make your AI for your game, right? And it's not like you put 100% of your AI. No, you put 50% of your AI idiom and you put 100% of it at hard. All of the work that you did on AI is going to go into the full release of the game at the most popular difficulty levels. So they almost have to fall back on this actual difficulty in order to make you play more or you know, appreciate the harder work, the better playing players. You know what I mean? It's just they're not gonna hide more AI functionality under a difficulty wall. They're just gonna, just like what we've been saying, take the easy way out. Whether it's right or wrong, that's just a way to. It's an economic thing. It's not a lift thing. I don't think.
And yeah, it's not a work of love thing. It's like, it's not where you're extending the release date of your game because you want it to be the way you are. It's making a buck.
And if you're really looking for challenge in that regard, you might as well just play multiplayer. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to.
That all is with its own caveats, though. Disconnects and fucking people leaving and all kinds of fucking shit.
Yeah, there's been plenty of times where I've played, like, what's on the screen right now, Total War Warhammer 2, and we played the game, and we start the game, and they're like, oh, he's playing Vampire Coast. I surrender. I don't want to play against that because my race doesn't do good against Vampire Coast, and it gets annoying. And so there's some times where I don't want to fucking play against some sweaty dudes, and I just want to play multiplayer because I have 2 hours to kill because my kid's asleep, and I've already done everything I need to do in the house. And so I just wish, and my number one example of this is Halo 1, when it first came out. Halo 1, when you increase the difficulty, not only made the AI smarter and stronger, but it gave them more resources in the sense of, like, now elites throw grenades. Now elites will use better stuff. They'll flank you compared to just running straight at you on normal. And I wish more game developers would do that with their product.
I'm just saying that what you're talking about is a few hundred lines of code versus now where it would be a few hundred thousand lines of code for the difference. You know what I mean?
I mean, we don't know. Have you ever written a line of code, dude?
No, man. I understand what you're saying. Over here, man. Yeah. Things, complexity and, yeah, it's a lot more difficult now, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard for me to make any blanket statements. I really think you got to judge each game individually when it comes to something like that, because some games it works, some games, yeah, it can be annoying.
Bobby, speaking of games, let me talk about a game that's been around for 30 years. I think that's what that means. I've been watching Survivor Season 28. That's not the newest one, I don't think, even by far. But it's on Netflix now. And I've been enjoying shit out of this fucking thing, dude. I forgot how good Survivor is. And I hate to say that I'm a fan of reality television, but if it's a competition, I'm almost all. Like, I saw the glass blowing one on Netflix. I watched the whole thing. Like, because I think that competition is real. And if you capture it on film, you know, it's worth watching a lot of the times. I don't know why it turns me on, but I like it. So, Season 28 is interesting. It starts with three different tribes. The brain tribe, which is people of 130 IQ or better. The beauty tribe, which are like models. And the brawn tribe, which are like people that work out. And are like cops and shit. Tough people. And started off pretty good. I'm halfway through the season. And it's so much better on Netflix, dude. You don't have to wait a whole week. You can binge watch Survivor. It's so much better now.
Survivor was the first, I don't know. I always think of it as the first reality TV show. I don't think it is. I mean, obviously Cops predates that. Yeah, Real World. But like for me, like that marked the time where everybody was like, oh, let's all start making reality TV shows. Like Survivor came out. It was a big hit. I want to say like early 2000s, I think, is when it really got big. And then all of a sudden we just got flooded with reality TV shows just everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emilio, you just gave my dad the best fucking Christmas gift you could have given him.
What did
you His
mean?
Favorite show in the world ever in history is Survivor. And now that it's on Netflix, when you go for Thanksgiving, just be like, hey, Pablo, you know, they got Survivor on Netflix now. You'll blow his fucking mind. They got Netflix. I pay for all their shit. I pay for Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu. All their accounts are mine.
And so, you see, I read an article when I was looking up their link for this. ABC Access has all 40 seasons.
There's 40 seasons?
I guess there's 40 seasons, man. So, yeah, they must have been doing two a year, I feel like.
They should have, like, Survivor Paisa Edition, where they're just sending a bunch of paisas from San Diego to the beaches and surviving.
What's painting pain, Nick?
So, I wanted to transition this from Warhammer at one point from Battle Sisters, but I just want to let you guys know, Bobby, I understand your pain when it comes to painting, and you're like, should I thin out the paints when I paint? Yes, definitely thin out the paints. But my dumbass decided to use industrial grade primer on tiny pieces of plastic that cost a lot of money. And the reason why I mention this is that if anyone ever hears this, don't ever fucking use industrial grade primer.
I'm gonna guess that it melted through it, or
no, dude. So it removes all the detail, no matter how far away you use the primer from. I could be shooting it from like 18 inches away, loses all the detail on the model because the paint is so thick. I shook it. I had it at the right temperature. It just didn't.
Was it a big model?
Nope. I can show you them. They're small models, but all the skin detail, all the spikes and everything was lost. I ruined $35 worth of models just by using one can of spray primer. And we were talking about,
you gotta toss them, right?
No, I'm trying one last British remedy, and that's to use isopropyl alcohol at 99% and dunk them in that for 10 minutes and use a toothbrush. But literally, I believe the plastic is stained white, which is not enough. So,
Wow, you fucked up, Nick. Yeah. What's going on with Christmas gifts?
You live and you learn.
I was going to ask you guys, this is my second listener questions because I didn't write them down in the listener questions area, is what would you guys like for Christmas? From the fans, from your families, from whatever.
Oh, man.
I asked Sam for a new leather jacket. My leather jacket bought in high school has seen its last days. It has like paint marks on it and shit. I don't know how that happened.
A leather? Oh. I've never. Wait, are you deleting these from the show notes?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I need those, dude.
Oh, well, what?
It's all
right.
I can
rewind time, right?
Yeah, I can get another draft. But if you just, undo that, that would be helpful. Yeah, because when I post all this stuff, I have to copy paste that in there. I've never seen you in a leather jacket before. Is this something that I'm not aware of? Are you the Fonz?
Well, I don't wear. I'm always hot, so I don't wear jackets very often.
Yeah,
not in San Diego. But when I do, it's like five times a year. So that's what I asked Sam for. That's about it, man. Like, I don't know. We're adults now.
Yeah.
We buy everything that we need.
That's exactly the trouble I'm going through. Like, I have everything I want / need, and I can pay for it myself. And this is something that they talked about on Tom Segura's podcast. It's like, Leslie's right here. Don't get me something that I need as in like socks. Get me something that's going to wow me, right? Even if I don't own it already.
Well, Bobby always tells people Steam gift cards.
No, not anymore. I haven't done that in a long time. Anymore. Yeah, because I don't spend that much money on Steam. But the best advice I ever heard for gift buying was, I can't remember where. This has probably been said a lot, but a good gift is something that somebody wants but wouldn't buy for themselves.
But doesn't that include like cost? Like, you don't want to make your, for my example, there's a model that I want, and it's called Magnus the Red, and it's $187. And I'm not going to make my sister, but I'm not going to ask my sister to buy me Magnus the Red. That's something that I would want, but I'm not going to buy myself because
it's $187. But I think the idea is that the whole, like, so, something that you wouldn't buy for yourself is like, you know, I don't know. I guess it depends on the person. There's probably a lot of people that like just buy whatever they want. I don't, though. Like, I see lots of things. I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I'd never buy it. Like, I buy like toothpaste and, you know, like shampoo and stuff that I need. I don't buy like things that I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I'd like that. But I don't know. I'm at a point with gifts where it's just like, I usually tell people like, no, I don't, you don't need to get me anything, just because I think we got too many damn holidays and there's too much emphasis on like gift giving and, you know, I just don't like stuff. I don't like things. So yeah, I usually just say like Amazon gift cards or whatever. But I had a great idea that I was going to tell my family, or actually tell my girlfriend, and then she'll tell my family when they ask her. But this is a perfect example of what I was talking about. Something that I would never buy for myself, but I want. There's sheet music it's kind of on the expensive side, but usually you buy like a small book. And they're anywhere from like, you know, 20 to 30 bucks or something like that. They're called Henleys or Urtex. They're called sometimes, but it's really nice sheet music for the piano. And it's like, I always get the Shermers, like the cheap stuff, you know, and it would be nice to have like the real fancy kind, but I would never like spend the extra money to get that. But like Henleys and Chopin or something would be great.
Well, do you like vinyl?
Vinyl? No, yeah. I don't have a record player.
Well, like if you were to for example, like get a record player for Christmas, would you like get into collecting vinyl as in something that I fucking do?
Probably not. I'm pretty pragmatic, so it's like if I want to listen to music, I do it on the computer. So I don't know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to buy gifts for me, and I'm pretty bad at buying gifts for other people as well. But
so this transitioned into two things. There's an app called, I believe it's called Elfster. What's it called?
Elfster,
where you can put things that you would want. And I think it also submits Elfster. Thank you. It also submits, like recommendations. It's like things that you're into Warhammer, more, you know, Metal Gear Solid, t-shirts. And so like, it'll recommend you, if you're looking at me, it'll be like, you should buy him a Metal Gear Solid t-shirt or a Warhammer keychain.
So it's kind of like an Amazon wish list, but not for specific items.
Exactly.
And yeah, I think, we used it. I believe we used it for one of our gift exchanges one year. Probably the Steam group. Because Elfster sent me an email, and I clicked on it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I remember. And then a lot of the names were like, it works really well. It's a good gift exchange. I think it got brought up in DLG. I think we should do it.
I think we should do it as in the DLG core group, or whatever you want to call it, the Discord channel. I think we should set up a channel that's like people that want to participate. We should have a number maximum, and then we should draw names at random, and then, you know, have fun. You know, maybe.
I agree.
Maybe.
You're going to put it together?
I think there might have already been talk about this. I don't know. I think this might have already been discussed, but I'm not sure who all was involved. But yeah, I mean, we could do like a Christmas DLG gift exchange for people who wanted to participate.
Maybe get Diddy, I don't know, like a sweet ass snake pendant, or like pay for a tattoo for him or something. I don't know. Like, you know, maybe get
pay off one of his mortgages.
Yeah, pay for two of his kids to go to college. I don't know. But no, what I'm like, I think that's one thing that definitely brings the community together is Secret Santa, because I did Reddit Secret Santa one time, and dude, it was, I will never forget this in my life. I got to go to Riot Studios, the company that makes League of Legends. I did Reddit Secret Santa one year. I get an email from a guy going, "Hey, I'm a professional player's brother. I work for Riot Studios for your Secret Santa this year. Would you like to take a tour of Riot Studios? Go to 2 days of live gameplay, play and look at characters that won't be released for 6 months to a year. All because I signed up for a fucking $30 Reddit Secret Santa thing." And so I think that would be something super cool.
I feel like you got lucky there.
Well, there's people that get like Bill Gates and they get a Microsoft Surface and an Xbox and all this other shit. But as like a community, it obviously that's not going to happen unless, you know, Diddy, you send me out a snake. Shut up. Send me a snake. Even though my wife will probably kill it. I think that's something that will definitely bring the community together, even though our community is already super tight knit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. All right, we got two listener questions. We should get to those before we get out of here. The first one is from Warconius. When does the game of the year discussion start? How do we send in some input? Can I add a category like best anime bullshit spoof of a video game? There's a lot of those on Steam. We've actually got something planned for Game of the Year, and we're still kind of working it out a little bit, but we do have something in mind for the end of the year, and it does have some community involvement. So look forward to that. I've already got some ideas.
I think you should up the production though, Bobby. I think you should get one of those button up backwards suits. For example, we should get you one of those Bob Barker microphones, and you get in front of the stream and you got a fucking giant wheel or something, and you're like, this year's game of the year goes to Hades, and then you're like, Hades is a game from whatever studios. Yeah. But you gotta liven it up.
Yeah, maybe. Plans. I mean, maybe we'll do some fun stuff. But here's the thing, though. Like, our game of the years are always weird because we only pick from the games that we played. There's a bunch of great games out there. We didn't play them, though. You know, I mean, between the two of us, we usually get to a lot of them. But still, there's going to be some real big blind spots in this. So we always like to put a little asterisk next to that.
Yeah, that's when the question came up, I was like, I've only played four games this year. It's pretty hard to come up with a solid list out of that.
Well, you played Hades.
I did.
Yeah.
So obviously, I was like, that's why I was like, yeah, that works. That's the winner.
You missed my pitch for Bobby. We were going to get him a fake suit and a Bob Barker microphone and have him like present the game of the year.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. So, And to support Warconius, I think Game of the Year is obviously an important topic, but I don't. It's such a subjective thing, and, you know. People like first person shooters. People like strategy games. It really does what speaks to the masses, and my vote goes for Hades.
Yeah. Plus, us being a PC gaming podcast, that really cuts out a lot of games too.
Damn, Nick! Out of everything you played this year, your vote would go for Hades.
So, this is my reasoning. Hades is a game that I played, and even though I had some problems with it, I wanted to continue playing because I wanted to see the end, not because I'm a completionist, because I had sincere interest into the topics and the characters themselves. For me, Game of the Year doesn't mean something that takes up your time or has the best wow factor, like, ooh, chainsaw legs, who cares? It's really something that you enjoy playing to the point that you don't care how much it costs or how much time it takes. It really is something that brings you happiness because there's so many fucking games that you can play. So, and that was Hades.
That's a good choice. All right, final question from Hinks. Question for Bobby. Has anyone ever noticed you sound very similar to the Mandalorian? I have my suspicions that it might be you behind the helmet.
Dude, I don't know. Not until he said this. It's not. Well, obviously he has a Hispanic accent, but like the actual sound of your voice is super similar.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah.
They just fired him too, so we got to send Bobby out to Disney.
I didn't make that connection, but then again, most people don't really know what they really sound like, right? I do remember when he took off the helmet like late in season one, I was like, ugh, maybe put that thing back on. I don't know, man.
You don't like Pedro Pascal?
I do, but for some reason in The Mandalorian, when he took off his helmet, he looked kind of weird. I don't know. Like, I've seen him in other stuff, and he looks fine. And then all of a sudden, like this, I'm just like, it's kind of goofy, man. I don't know.
That's you caring about the show. That's you caring that the Mandalorian is showing his face, and you're like, ugh, put it back on. You know, do what you're supposed to do.
Maybe that's why they always wear the helmet.
They're all ugly.
They're all ugly. All
right, guys, I got to wrap it up. I'm getting baby aggro over here.
Okay, so real quick, what's everybody playing next week? More TF2 for me and something else. I got the week off, so sky's the limit.
Zero. I'm working 2 days and then I'm flying home. Oh, I'll be playing board games. I'll probably be playing Scattergories and Telestrations. Nick, are you going to your mom's house? No, right?
I can't leave the state of Georgia.
Yeah, because COVID stuff, right?
Yeah. I'll be playing Shadowlands and ruining my life and my marriage. But I'll be buying plenty of Red Bull and making those stocks go up.
So. Awesome. All right. Sign us out.
Speaking for Bobby, Nick, and myself, virtual titties, everybody. Next week in studio. Bye. I expect you guys' voices are anxious to flip out, but they didn't.
Like, this is the time where you leave.
Almost.
Yeah, I gotta go.